this is your Polycast for Wednesday, May 17th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, some progress at the Capitol and a closer look at the higher education budget. As I mentioned yesterday, business owner Dean Phillips of Deep Haven has officially launched a congressional campaign against 3rd District Republican Congressman Eric Paulson. Mark Zedeklik has more.
Phillips, 48, is a first-time candidate who served as the president and CEO of his family's Phillips Distilling Company. He says he'll run as a Democrat, but he won't say whether he will abide by the party endorsement. Phillips says Republican Congressman Eric Paulson's voting record shows he's not the moderate he claims to be.
His vote on health care, I believe, was abhorrent. I believe that bill will do the exact opposite of what they claim it will. I think there's an age tax. I think it'll make health care more expensive and available to fewer people.
Paulson's campaign says he's focused on work in Congress and that there will be plenty of time for campaigning next year. Last fall, Paulson prevailed as Democrat Hillary Clinton won the 3rd District by almost 10 points. Democrats hope dissatisfaction with President Trump and other Republicans will help them defeat Paulson next year. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
The federal government has filed another lawsuit against United Health Group detailing allegations of fraud. Martin Moylan reports.
The feds contend that since at least 2005, United Health received over $1 billion in Medicare Advantage program payments to which it was not entitled. The insurer allegedly did that by reviewing patient records for missed and incorrect medical diagnoses, but only reported those that resulted in increased payments for insuring patients. The government says the company did not report invalid diagnoses and other information that would reduce payments. The government's lawsuit builds on a whistleblower lawsuit filed by Benjamin Paling, a former finance director at United Health. The feds are essentially taking that case over, using it as a roadmap. United Health said the company rejects the government's claims and will contest them vigorously. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
There are 5 days to go at the Capitol before the legislature must adjourn the 2017 session. Negotiations over a new state budget are finally showing some movement. Lawmakers are on the cusp of completing another must-do item for the year, approval of a federally compliant driver's license. Brian Baxt has more.
It's called the Real ID, mandated by Congress in 2005 as a terrorism response measure. Minnesota is one of the last to make sure its state driver's licenses adhere to the federal security standards. Without the change, there was a chance come January that Minnesota travelers could be turned back at airport checkpoints unless they brought a passport. A deal due for ratification today would head off that scenario, says Representative Dennis Smith, a Maple Grove Republican.
Travel issues and admittance to federal buildings and military bases will be an issue no more.
Smith was involved in crafting an agreement that had been hung up by a fight over driver's licenses for immigrants without proper documentation. The compromise shifts that debate to a separate bill, so Minnesota can finally move ahead with adoption of Real ID. The January deadline is still in play, but Minnesota is likely to apply for a waiver to get more time to implement the law. Republican Senator Eric Pratt, the other lead negotiator, says that's needed because the licenses won't be available overnight.
Well, I think the next step now is to get the extension so that Minnesota can go past January of 2018 and we don't have the long lines at the DVS that will be good until October of 2020.
Based on experiences in other longtime holdout states, there's a strong likelihood that the waiver would be granted. The bill gives the Department of Public Safety until October 2018 to add Real ID to its offerings. People who don't want one won't have to go through the more rigorous process to prove they are who they say they are. But it's expected some people won't want to wait until their normal 4-year renewal is up to get a Real ID. Say, for instance, you had a year left before your license expires. Here's how Representative Paul Torkelson of Hanska explains it.
You would receive a 5-year license in that case, and you would pay a $2 fee. And similarly, if you were 2 years early, you'd get a 6-year license, pay a $4 fee. If you were 3 years early, you'd get a 7-year license and pay a $6 fee.
Governor Mark Dayton has not formally announced his intention on the bill, but he made clear a bill must become law this year to head off complications.
Well, I'd have to see the Real ID bill, but if If it's got broad bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate, then we have to have a real ID bill passed in this session, or Minnesotans aren't going to be able to get on commercial airplanes next January. I don't think any of us want to be responsible for that.
The apparent solution on real ID clears one obstacle lawmakers were facing as the session winds down. The bigger one, of course, is the budget. A series of closed-door talks between Dayton and Republican legislative leadership is beginning to narrow some differences. But Dayton says,
we're still significant ways apart.
He offered to boost the amount of tax cuts by $200 million, and Republicans came down by $250 million. That still leaves them $475 million apart for the next 2 years. The differences on spending for education, health care, and state agency operations are also wide. It's all in the context of a two-year budget that will approach $46 billion. House Speaker Kurt Dowd says as long as everybody remains committed to getting a budget deal, the gaps aren't insurmountable.
There is enough time, if everybody's serious, to get this done within the regular legislative session here.
Under the Constitution, the session must adjourn by midnight Monday. And if a new budget isn't approved by then, it would be up to Dayton to decide when lawmakers would return to finish the task. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt at the Capitol.
For Minnesota's public university systems, the budget process balances keeping tuition in a range students can afford and finding millions of dollars to pay for things like new buildings and programs. With the governor and legislature far apart on a higher education budget, that balance becomes much more political, as Peter Cox reports.
A group of students from Minnesota State colleges and universities, in what has become a biannual tradition, walked for days from Mankato to the state capitol in St. Paul to urge lawmakers to spend more on higher ed. Mankato senior Faisal Riani is the state chair-elect for Students United.
I love Mankato and I love the seven state institutions, and I'm very concerned that these schools won't be able to operate as well as they used to without the funding that they need.
The clerk will take the roll.
On Monday, the Senate and House passed a nearly $3.2 billion omnibus higher education finance bill, with about $125 million in new appropriations. That sounds like a lot, but it's far less than the state's two university systems wanted. As expected, shortly after, Governor Mark Dayton vetoed the bill. He'd asked for about $200 million more. In his veto letter, he wrote that, quote, I believe strongly that investment in post-secondary education is vital to the continued economic success of our state and its citizens. This bill simply comes up short, end quote. Negotiations have started again for the higher education budget. Minnesota State Chancellor Stephen Rosenstone has seen this back and forth before.
It's that time of the legislative season where things seem a little goofy, but I'm quite confident we're going to find a path forward, and I know that people are working really hard on both sides of the aisle for that to happen.
Here's how this works. There's a built-in base fund for higher education, which includes the University of Minnesota campuses, the Minnesota State System, the state's Higher Ed Office, and the Mayo Foundation. That base is about $3 billion. What gets negotiated is the additional funding that the school systems ask for, which includes money for keeping up with rising costs, new programs, and building renovations, among other things. But perhaps the highest profile item in the budget tug of war is how to keep tuition costs frozen or increase only minimally. A bill passed Monday will allow Minnesota State to freeze tuition. However, the University of Minnesota system would get far less than it asked in the bill.
And if state support is going down, tuition is either going to have to go up or we're going to have to cut programs or services. Neither of those are good for our students.
U of M Vice President and Head of Relations Matt Kramer says the U's role as a research institution helps with rural agriculture issues across the state and helps to address many other things, like steps forward in medicine. But Republicans lean toward the system with more campuses and students throughout the state, a system that offers a variety of degrees from two-year vocational to doctorates. Bud Nornes represents Fergus Falls.
People believe we ought to treat the two systems pretty much evenly. If we had done that, neither one would have been happy. So we chose to go with Minnesota State for the share of the funding.
Democrats argue that with a significant state surplus and a known student debt problem,
the appropriation for higher ed should have been more generous. DFL State Senator Jason Isaacson, who serves on the Senate Higher Education Committee, says education is a key reason Minnesota is consistently ranked highly in things like quality of life, civic engagement, and voter turnout.
If we continue to disinvest in education, we're creating higher student debt for those that can go, we reduce access for a lot of people who can't go, and then what really happens is we're going to have a brain drain.
Next, Republican leaders in Dayton will try to come up with an overall budget figure for higher ed, which could include specific policies or tuition targets. Covering education, I'm Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.